It's a hot and muggy one today. I'm okay with that.
Well, that can't surprise you. It's summertime. It's going to be hot. It's going to be muggy. What are people panicking about?
I find it pretty amusing that, like, when you're out in public, either riding up an elevator with someone or walking down the street, and people are like, oh, it's so hot. And then in the winter, oh, it's so cold.
Right.
Isn't anyone ever happy? Why is everyone Goldilocks?
I don't know the answer to that, but a few days ago, somebody used this phrase, and as soon as somebody says this to me, I'm done with them. Hot enough for you? They said that. Hot enough for you? And then, like, yes and no.
I am deeply uncomfortable in the heat.
I don't like the humidity.
Extraordinarily so.
Humidity is bad for me.
But it's fixable. I mean, you can go
take
someplace.
Take your clothes off.
You could absolutely take your clothes off.
Done that, and the,
remember,
somebody
Steve
always complained.
Is the proponent of everyone should just be
please
naked.
Tell that naked man to put some clothes on.
There was a momentary refreshing breeze, and then it was
this
over.
This is a CTA bus, and for that man to be sitting there without any clothes on is wrong.
I saw my mother-in-law on
without
Father's Day.
On? Come on,
no,
really?
Wendy,
come
on.
That's awkward.
Did you get pictures?
On Father's Day, I went to my in-laws, and my mother-in-law still laughs at me when I went to Corinth, Mississippi with her.
Yeah?
Because we had a funeral service to attend for her mother, Gran, had passed away. And it was so flipping hot.
Sure.
And she was laughing at me being a Yankee because I wasn't used to the humidity. And
yeah.
I kept saying, oh, I don't think the air conditioning's working on the car because it didn't feel like it.
But in the South, doesn't everybody have a fan that they just continuously fan
You're
themselves
fanning
with?
Hot air. It doesn't work.
Know. Well, it's momentary relief. It's not permanent relief. But I just picture everybody in the South saying, I do declare. And then they have a... They have a fan.
A pretty floral fan.
Right. And they announced that Atlanta will rise again at some point. And I hope they're right.
I will tell you, we have the last couple of summers have gone to Disney over the summer months, which why do I go to Florida in June?
We used to go in August. We would always go the last 2 weeks of summer vacation.
Before school, yeah.
And it was sometimes like 105.
Impressive. I know. And the humidity, honestly, you can't breathe. You go on Splash Mountain 10 times
right.
just to cool off.
Right. Now, twice in my life, I've been in Las Vegas where it's been between 110 and 115 degrees. And when you go outside in heat that's 115 degrees, you just start to cry. You just go out. It hurts to be that hot.
May I ask a question? Because I know it was, 118 in Arizona recently?
Yeah, the other day it was.
And everybody says it's dry heat. Is there really a difference? I know humidity really does kind of, it pushes down on you. You don't feel like doing anything. But isn't 118 still hot?
Here's what somebody told me about that. Because I've wondered that. Yeah, 118 is hot.
Humidity or not?
Yeah, regardless of the humidity, once you reach that, there's no way around it. It's hot. But somebody explained to me that it's much like the wind chill in the winter where, you know how it's always, in the winter, every day we announce what the temperature is, but then we also say, but with the wind chill, it's like 13 below.
Right.
So that you get that effect with the heat.
So is it hotter without humidity or with humidity? I think with.
I would imagine with, right?
But at least you get dewy.
It's more uncomfortable with humidity.
Yeah, I guess, because in Nashville over the summer.
And he defeats Truman, if my history serves me correct.
God, why do I come to work?
You can go to Corinth, Mississippi and fan yourself with your clothes on.
you have to say Corinth.
Corinth, Mississippi.
Corinth. Well, law me. Hi, Dave. How are you? Hot enough for you?
Just ducky. We up here in Fox Lake, we have a church in town, and on the sign it says, you know, the time of the services and things like that. But at the bottom, when it was really hot out, the sign said, "So you think it's hot here?
Don't go to hell."
right.
That's perfect.
It'd be hotter there, I would hope.
Is there humidity in hell?
Just a little bit.
I don't think so, because there are a lot of fires.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's a dry heat. Yeah.
Right. People always point that out to you, too.
And
so
what
you'll
does
feel.
That mean?
It's to make you feel better. Oh, is it hot? But
sure.
It's a dry heat. Oh, all right.
All right, Dave. Well, that's a pretty funny church. Bless you, my son.
You could put your head in an oven.
Yes.
And your feet in a bucket of ice, and on the average, you'll feel fine.
That's true, isn't it?
I'm doing that later.
That's true.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm sure you've heard people say this too. You know what? It's not the heat. It's the humidity. Well, it could also be the heat. Like once it gets over 100, it is also the heat.
What do you think about that, Glenn? It's not the heat. It's the humidity. What do we do with this?
Well, being a Chicagoan and then moved to Las Vegas for a while, the humidity here is just pounding. And when you walk outside, it feels like there's weight on you. Whereas when you're in Vegas and it's 110 degree with their dry heat, it almost, like you guys were saying, it's like the wind chill. It just cuts. It actually is a physical wound when you walk outside.
It is.
Does your skin start sizzling?
No, but your body just wants to collapse.
You
right?
can't perspire. You can't perspire enough to cool your body off. I mean, here in Illinois and in Chicago, you go outside, you've got those lovely little stains under the shirt and stuff like that when
sure.
you're walking around. In Vegas, the only thing you did there is that lovely little crust of those stains because you go outside, your body's trying to perspire, and all you hear is this crusty, crunchy noise coming from your body because you literally cannot perspire enough. And then I moved from Las Vegas to New Orleans.
Oh, I hear that's very swampy.
Yeah.
Oh, you walk outside and you just cry. You just cry because you bring three shirts to work, one to wear to work, one to wear at work, one to wear home, so that you're not literally embarrassed as you're walking in public.
Right.
Because you're a soppy, sloppy, horrible mess. And that's wearing a suit and tie.
Imagine if you had to wear a suit and tie.
I can't even imagine. But that's why I always think, we're even though we complain here in the Midwest, in Chicago, we've got nothing to complain about. When you hear stories like that about Las Vegas or New Orleans, it's worse.
It's absolutely. And living in the Midwest, the joke is for anybody who's up here is simply don't like the weather. Wait an hour and a
right.
half. It'll be a little bit different.
Right.
You know, yesterday it was 70. Today it's 90 and 100% humidity. In 2 weeks, we'll be claiming that I can't go to the beach because the sand's too hot.
I agree with that, though.
I still have my snow scraper in the car just in case.
I do, too.
I'm not putting it away.
We have a shovel out on our porch
just
still.
Just in case, just to be safe.
I keep the salt in the back of my car. You never know. You just never know.
It's true.
You might start licking it if you're sweating that much. You need
right.
to replenish.
Right.
Well, I need it for my White Castle burgers.
Thank you, Glenn.
Sure enough.
Although you know where in the Midwest it gets insanely hot is St. Louis. I've been to St. Louis twice in the summer, like in the heart of the summer, late July, early August, and it doesn't make sense how hot it is there.
I've never been there. I have to do a family road trip there. I want to see the arch.
Try not to go late July, early August.
You've never been to St. Louis?
Uh-uh.
Oh,
you should go.
It's the gateway to the West.
Yeah, gateway to the West.
All right,
I'll go up in the arch. They let you in the arch.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I have flat feet, though.
No, they won't let you in. You're out.
Hi, John. You can tell us about humidity.
Yeah, I've got a... You know, I went to college in Tucson, Arizona, and it is dry and hot, although the climate actually has changed a little bit since I was there in the 80s. It's greened up some because, I don't know, I guess climate change. But...
That does not exist, for the record. Thank you for postulating that, but it doesn't exist.
The thing about the Tucson heat is that, and the lack of humidity, is that when the sun's on your skin, it's not that bad. So, you know, when the sun goes down, it kind of cools off at night, and it's not terrible. I lived in Texas for years. God, I tell you what, it gets hot around middle of May, and it stays unbearably, oppressively hot through the end of September sometime.
That's a
longer.
Long time.
And it just never breaks from it. You may go 30 days without rain, but the humidity level is always at, you know, 80% probably.
So do you just stay in air conditioning?
It's terrible. I've seen people just burst into flames in Dallas.
I was much more active during the day living while I was younger too. But in Arizona, and your earlier caller mentioned something about, you know, when the water evaporates off your skin, you know, that's actually a cooling effect.
Right, that's why you sweat.
Because
then
as water evaporates, it leaves behind, it cools off the surface it evaporates from. You don't get that evaporation in Texas.
It just doesn't exist.
You don't get the wetness.
Yeah.
Right.
Boy, you paid attention when you went to college. You're smart.
Well, don't quiz me on algebra. Hey, I grew up in a four-season place in the mountains. I'll tell you what, I love winter. I love autumn.
Yeah.
I would not. Oh, I tell you what, I love being in Wisconsin for that very reason. I live in Wisconsin now. Because I don't need to have summer last until Thanksgiving.
I do like the change of seasons. I love fall.
Although, don't you think, for both of you, when you're older, there's something to be said for not having to fight the snow and the cold anymore?
Yeah.
I always understand when people go, I can't take this anymore. I'm heading to Arizona or Florida. I get it.
Well, I'm a lifelong skier, so I embrace the winter here.
Yeah.
Yeah, but skiing is different than shoveling, John.
Yeah. It is a lot different.
John, thank you for calling. We appreciate it. We have to take a quick break, and then is it the heat? Is it the humidity? Is it both? I don't know.
Hmm?
It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN.
Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. What are we doing? We're moaning about the weather, because that's what we do in Chicago. It's always too hot or too cold. 3 days a year, though, it's perfect.
Can I tell you, I am not one to moan. I really am not, but yeah. I hear so many people, oh, it's a hot one today. Yeah, it's summer.
This guy said, this is last week, this was his greeting to me, is it hot enough for you? And I...
What'd you say?
I just, like, really... There's no better intro to a conversation than, is it hot enough for you?
I believe Mark Twain had a quote about the weather, and Rick is going to share it with us. Hi, Rick.
Hey, there are so many great statements about the weather, but none is more often quoted than from Mark Twain. Mark Twain said, everybody talks about the weather,
but nobody does anything about it.
And there are others. The comedian Stephen Wright said, because heat rises, wouldn't heaven be hotter than hell?
I love it. You should send these to Tom Skilling, Rick.
Both of those are great.
I've got more.
Do you have one more?
Give us one more.
The great late Johnny Carson on his monologue would say, it was so hot today. And the audience replied, how hot was it? And Carson said, it was so hot, I saw a bird picking a worm out of the ground who was wearing oven mitts.
Beautiful.
Love it, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
You for sharing these.
I love you guys.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, right back at you.
It was so hot today, Wendy.
How hot was it? True story.
I saw a bird using oven mitts to pull a worm out of the ground.
Hi-yo!
I was trying to think of what
hi-yo.
Ed would have said. How stupid am I? What would Ed have done? Hi-o.
Yeah, hi-o.
All right. Illinois, we have four seasons. This has been the best summer so far in a long time.
Yeah, it's been great.
We shouldn't complain. Rich, what do you think?
Good morning.
Well, how are you, Rich?
This has been a great season for growing stuff with the rain and everything. But I wanted to share an experience with you, that I travel back and forth to Laughlin, Nevada.
Yeah.
I frequent a casino there.
Yeah.
And so we fly right out of Rockford. When we arrived in Laughlin, it was 124 degrees.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't have gotten off the plane.
Well, the heat radiates off the concrete and the asphalt, and it comes up and hits you in the face.
Yeah.
Type of heat.
Yeah.
But when we got back to Illinois, the temperature was 93, and the high humidity, it felt worse with the high humidity than it did at the 123.
Did it really?
It just holds you down. It feels like there's a wet blanket trying to suffocate you when it's humid out.
Yeah.
So I understand that, Rich.
Yeah, that's my best explanation.
That's crazy. Well, thank you so much, Rich. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you so much. Do you remember when you were a kid, and I don't know how they figured this out, but they did eventually. Like, every car we ever had when I was a kid, when you'd get in the middle of summer.
It burned your butt?
It would burn. Yeah. Yeah. And then finally we said, we got to start wearing pants in the car. This is crazy. But it was something about the vinyl that the seats were made out of that just didn't do well with heat, because I don't get that now with any car that I've driven in the last 5 or 10 years.
I'm a fan of the cloth seats. I really am, for that reason, because when you wear shorts and you get on hot leather, it's still pretty hot. Yeah. Not as bad as the vinyl
Nowhere near as bad.
Breathes.
Right. That's the difference right there. Yep. So
and
true.
My leather seats have like little perforations
those
in
little
it.
Those little holes help, don't
I
they?
I think that's why they do that
now.
Yeah,
I'm sure of it. I'm positive.
Boy, we've got everything solved.
You know, Dane's going to be upset with all this car talk.
Yeah, I know. We've stolen his whole concept for his show.
Well, I don't know if he's ever done perforated leather seats before.
Then he hasn't lived.
He did a one-hour perforated seat special a week ago.
I was out of town.
Yes, he did.
I missed it.
It's on the podcast. You can hear it on the podcast. All right, we must take a break. Steve has the news, and then there's a lot more show. You know who's coming by, Wendy?
Steve Dale.
Noted pet expert Steve Dale. We'll find out if he's doing okay in the warm weather. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Arf, arf, arf.
Arf, arf, arf is right, Wendy. Noted pet expert Steve Dale is in the studio. And can I?
There we go.
Can we start out? Can I throw a compliment towards Steve Dale real quick? Do you have time
Why
for a compliment,
Steve? Why would I
say no? Steve? I don't know.
Uh-oh.
I would hope you wouldn't block my compliment.
Uh-oh.
I'm a big fan of the T-shirt you're wearing.
Ah, yes.
It has a heart on it, and then it has the RCA Victor dog. Do you know the name of him? Because I do.
Like Petey.
Fido?
No.
I
really
his
don't.
Name.
Of course you do.
Nipper.
That's
the RCA
right.
Victor
really?
Dog. Yeah. And really? Usually the words, his master's voice, were underneath him.
Yes.
But
yes.
That's a handsome shirt. You look like $1 million.
Thank you. We have one of those little statues.
Yeah.
That is this dog.
We have
old
a Victrola.
Really?
That's
the real thing?
Better.
Mm-hmm.
That is cool.
There's a museum somewhere in the West that's devoted just to that dog.
Come
on. And they've got thousands of items that dog is on, posters and just you name it. And
I should take a picture of this and put this on my fan page so people know what we're talking about.
You should definitely do that. You look. You've never looked better.
Reckless Records?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's on the north side.
Chicago and London. Oh, that's adorbs.
That's a record store for dogs. It's the only record store for dogs in the Chicagoland area. How are you, Steve? Everything good?
I am good. Thank
Although
you
came in, and there's a very sad story that Wendy and I discussed a little bit yesterday. Do you want to talk about it? It's very sad.
You're talking about Treehouse Humane Society?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Wendy follows animal welfare in Chicago, and anyone who's involved in animal welfare in Chicago or knows me, because I've been talking about Treehouse. I mean, when this first all came down, so many people emailed a pet blogger in Chicago who wrote a great blog about it. It's Dolly's Doxy, D-O-X-I-E as in dachshund is the name of the blog. Sandra Townsend is the blogger. And she wrote a lot more detail than what I would have time to talk on the radio about. But she said, man, I feel so sorry for you because you've been promoting Treehouse every chance you get for 15 years. And I have. And
very popular no-kill shelter. When I first wanted to get a cat 1 million years ago, that's the first place I visited.
Yeah.
Ended up getting it at the Humane Society in the West Suburban one. But it was so great. They had these cats just living in harmony with tree houses at the tree house.
Yes.
And it was a no-kill shelter. And you felt really good that if you didn't adopt one there, they could still have a life.
Absolutely. And it was long before the era of no kill. I mean, this place has been around since 1971. Needed a new building, had a capital campaign, and that's when everything went off the rails at some point. I can't go into detail on the radio, but the board made some unusual decisions, and I felt that I couldn't support anymore. I couldn't support the firing of very good people at the very top. There were many reasons. And it also had to do with philosophy. I mean, Treehouse was the first to do all sorts of things in Chicago, in the Midwest, and in the country. And an innovator in animal welfare.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And now was going back on what that mission was, backwards on what that mission was.
Have you talked to them about this?
Oh, they know how I feel.
Yeah.
I mean, when I left, I said, you have a choice.
Yeah.
You're going to lose a whole lot. I'm being very honest with you. I told the president of the board, if I go, you're going to lose a whole lot of money as a result of me going, but much more when you fire this development director who's exceedingly popular in the animal welfare community, beloved.
Yeah.
And a very smart lady. I said, you let us go, you're going to lose a lot of money. And during a capital campaign, who does that? Yeah, do it afterwards, or may have made the decision before the campaign. So just from a business perspective, it really made no sense, but they didn't seem to care. And, you know, I had read somewhere, I've been on many boards. I still serve on many boards, too many boards, maybe. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to do good in these organizations. And I read somewhere years ago about, I forget the term that was used, but there's an actual term for this, when a couple of board members get other board members on board and bully, ultimately, still other board members to feel a certain way. And in my personal judgment, that's kind of what happened. But I stood up for what I believed in. And
good for you, because I know that's difficult. You've given them a lot of support over the years and loved their mission at the beginning.
But the mission has seemed to change quite literally if you go on their website. By what recently happened demonstrates, as they euthanized the cat that maybe didn't need to be, said the cat had behavior problems, and whether the cat did or didn't, here's what I know. All of these individuals and rescue groups said, we will take the cat. They turned down the individuals.
They had a behavioral specialist that was going to handle the cat. They didn't release the cat.
They didn't release the cat to anyone. They euthanized the cat. When you have an organization, so today, this is the great news. It's what's changed compared to 20 years ago in animal welfare. So if a animal care and control right here in Chicago, municipal facility, does this really well, if they have animals that they cannot handle or feel they cannot adopt out because of space and or just another group wants them, a purebred rescue group, for example. You have a miniature schnauzer. I'm miniature schnauzer rescue. I'll take that dog. Rescues take dogs and cats that have issues or that, for whatever reason, a facility doesn't have the resources to deal with. And at least one rescue who rescues cats with behavior problems said, I will take this cat. Ownership exchange to that organization. There's no liability. It's happened somewhere in the country just in the time I'm talking about it. The good news is it saves animals, and it happens every single day. For reasons that are inexplicable to me, Treehouse said no to people. And this one organization that I'm referring to, they just ignored. To this moment, to my knowledge, they haven't called that organization back. So I can't explain any of this.
Where can people go to read the story? We sent them to your Facebook page yesterday.
Yeah,
my better place.
Well, my blog. Okay. And that's stevedale.tv. And I know that Bill goes there 5 or 6 times a day to see what's up.
Yep.
I cannot wait till tomorrow because it's a howl a day, as you mentioned. And guess who's coming to work with me tomorrow,
Woo!
Bill?
Who is coming to work with you?
Tiki.
Oh, your dog is coming to work. Is it Bring Your Dog to Work Day?
National Take Your Dog to Work Day, of course.
I'm bringing Snoop Dogg to work with me tomorrow.
I will give you $100 if you do.
I'm trying to get him. He said he might be able to come in for a few hours.
Isn't this an exciting moment, though? And it turns out that, and I think this is going to be a tough sell, not for you, Wendy, at all, but for Bill, that dogs in the workplace have benefits. They really do. So if you've got the cutest puppy in your cubicle, how can your boss ever come over and scream or holler at you?
Is that true? Yeah.
I will tell you the bosses here. You're the only
one. Bosses here, they don't scream and holler at except
No, but they love dogs.
Yes.
So they would come. Dave Ennett would be my best friend for the day. Yeah. He'd hug and spoon with Tiki on the floor. He's about the size of Dave Ennett.
Right. Yeah,
I can't. I really am not doing it. I know you're panicking. I'm not doing it because I'm worried Tiki will weaky on the floor.
Oh,
that's a technical.
But
term.
Steve, we used to worry about that with you too, and you've proved yourself to be.
I'm now house trained.
Yeah, it's completely house.
Yes, housebroken. Those newspaper columns I wrote came in very handy for another purpose.
Look, you still have an accident once in a while, but you're only
human.
Every
now and again, I know.
We're just human.
Now, will every place allow you to bring your dog? How do you know if it's okay?
Well, you discuss it beforehand with your boss. I have a website you can go to if you're interested in doing this next year. But I think it's a good idea, you know. And a lot of workplaces do this all the time.
Yeah.
They are dog friendly, or every Friday is dog friendly, or the weekends.
You can always bring a dog in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. We're doing a Facebook Live tomorrow at a place called The Nerdery.
Oh, I love that place.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just the best name. You see it when you're on the inbound Eisenhower.
Exactly, yes. So I'm going to find out what it's really like inside
The Nerdery. They have a virtual dog, too.
Do they really?
Yes.
I bet I'll bring cookies for the virtual dog.
Virtual cookies.
Of course, yes. So we're doing a Facebook Live. I think it's at noon, but they are dog friendly all the time, 24/7 or whenever they're open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tell Bill and the listeners what the benefits are of having a dog around. I mean, doesn't your blood pressure go down?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question, and I give you all sorts of data, including what you just mentioned, that dogs are good for us. And having blood pressure go down in the workplace is probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. But above and beyond that, so Purina did a study and asked people, you know, if would you want to bring your dog to work? Do you think it would be beneficial? For those who do bring their dogs to work, is it beneficial? And it turns out it is really beneficial, and people are happy bringing their dog to work. In fact, I found this interesting. Bring your dog to work or free coffee at work.
Mm-hmm.
They prefer the dog at work.
Mm.
I'd rather have the coffee.
Mm. What? No.
See, what happens, though, when your boss sees that the dog works harder than you do?
All right, that's a problem. Tiki's not coming.
That would be terrible, right?
The other thing is that people don't get as distracted, so they're not as likely to go on Facebook or do all these other things that I guess people do. And
see,
not supposed
I would
to
think
do.
People would be more distracted because
no.
there'd be more interaction with the dogs. But you're saying less distracted?
Less distracted.
Yeah. At the beginning, I'd be like, oh, Tiki. And then he'd lay down and just wait for us to be done. Oh. So,
yeah,
really,
that's what happens. People do take more breaks. But taking more breaks, to some extent, means you're going to be more productive.
You mean like if your dog smokes or something?
Yes.
Yeah. Smoking breaks for the dog.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah,
once
taking
an hour,
the
Wendy, it's mandatory.
Taking the dog out for a walk, that kind of thing. And
yeah.
it turns out also to enhance social interaction in the workplace.
Oh.
So you know who you're working
benefits.
There.
Right. Yeah. Noted pet expert Steve Dale is here.
Where?
You're right there,
oh,
Steve. You
okay.
sit right over there.
Okay.
If you want to call 312-981-7200, you can call us there or text us there if you have any questions or comments. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
And noted pet expert Steve Dale is with us right now. Steve, there is a caller who has called us at 312-981-7200.
A caller.
Can we talk to her?
Sure.
Pet. Sure. Mm, guy or girl, 50-50 chance.
I'm going to say yes.
I'm saying woman. Hi, Pat.
Wrong.
Oh, I lose.
Wah, wah.
All right. What is your question?
Yeah. Well, I have a question and a comment. Number one, my golden retriever comes to work with me every day. I own a company, and I allow my other employees to bring their dogs to work whenever they need to. But my golden comes with me every day, and actually my doctor said if it wasn't for that, my blood pressure would be a lot higher than where it is.
I believe
so
it.
That's number one. Number two, I don't know if you heard or read about the gentleman or the person, I don't want to call him that, but stomped on the head of a kitten because he couldn't take it on the train or the bus. I'm not sure what it was. And he just walked away. He was told that he couldn't do that. And my question is, what can we do to create or enforce better laws for, you know, the cruelty to animals? You know what I mean?
Well, the create part isn't so much. I mean, that, I think, is in most places in America there. I had not heard that story, and, you know, my stomach turns as you even mentioned.
Yeah, it was on the Metrolink platform. He was not a security officer said he couldn't take the cat on board the train, so he threw the kitten on the ground and stomped on its head. What happens? I mean, isn't that a...
That's a felony.
Yeah.
Potentially. Animal abuse is a felony, and... It's a matter of what you said next, and that's enforcement. And even if it's enforced and if he's cited, then you go to court, and then we need judges who support the laws we have.
He remains in custody, $75,000 bond.
Good.
So something did happen to that, Pat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't get the follow-up, but I appreciate that. Great show. Every time Mr. Dale is on, it's always a fabulous show.
How about
thank
that?
You.
Well, thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Dad.
Have a good rest of the week.
Thank you.
Because of the compliment.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yes.
Dog flu
still
is,
here?
Is not going away.
Mm-mm. No.
What's going on there?
Well, in Chicago, it's likely endemic. So here's the story, and then I'll come back and explain what that means. But here's the story about dog flu. It seemed to fizzle out. We didn't hear much about it. And about a month or so ago, a couple of dog shows, one in Georgia, one in Florida, where these dogs contracted flu. Now, what happens is if your dog's in daycare or boarding and your dog gets flu, your dog comes home and you may share it, or your dog may share it, with the community a couple blocks, maybe a couple miles away. Dog shows, they're bringing it home to other states, several states away very often, and to communities who haven't had the dog flu or the strain of dog flu before. Dog flu strain that we're talking about is called H3N2. It began in Chicago in about 2015, right here in the Windy City. People in veterinary medicine, I've heard, call it the dog flu city, which disturbs me greatly because I don't think that's right. But we don't even know how it got here. We know it got here from Southeast Asia, but how exactly, which dog, nobody knows. I'm sure nobody will ever know, but there's so much dog flu, so much of the virus that's here in Chicago. The terminology is endemic. It just lives here.
Yeah.
And the only way in the Chicago area to protect your dog, or anywhere in the country, is to vaccinate.
I did that.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Our vet suggested that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's here. And to say, oh, my neighbor doesn't have it, or my veterinary clinic hasn't seen it, well, good. I'm glad they haven't.
Then they're doing a good job.
Yeah, or lucky. And they may see it weeks or months or a year from now. The other thing about this virus is, because it's a novel virus, it's never been here, no dog in America, unless the dog has recently had flu, has immunity to the flu. So they're going to get the virus. And what makes it even more confusing is 20% of the dogs, you don't know that they have the virus because they don't have any symptoms. They're acting fine, totally fine. They're chasing squirrels like they always did.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know that they're spreading virus to other dogs because they are just as contagious.
But Steve, it's very similar to what we get when we have the flu. There's some people that you have to stay in bed for days and days. There's other people that just walk around. It's
totally right.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. The only difference is, well, it's not the flu. So potentially this flu can kill dogs. It's a small percent and it's only about 2 to 5%.
Yeah.
But if it's your dog, it's not such a small percent, you know, and a percent of dogs above and beyond 2 and 5% require hospitalization. So they will recover, but it's an expensive deal. Also, a dog having a flu is going to, just like a person, and this flu is respiratory.
Right.
So they will be up all night coughing for days or weeks is more common. Well, that's annoying to the dog and to
you.
Yeah. So it's nothing you want your dog to get. So even if you say, well, my dog may be that 20% that doesn't get sick. Okay, maybe, you know, if you win the flu lottery, or my dog won't get that sick. That's probably the case.
Yeah.
But it's still something you don't want your dog to get.
There's a flu lottery, Steve?
Yes, there
is. I
didn't
know that.
Yes. You don't want to win that.
No.
Real quickly, because we only have about 30 seconds.
Oh, no.
Debbie, get to your question.
What does the workplace do if they have an employee who's highly allergic to dogs, and are they stigmatized because other employees want to bring their animals to work?
That's a good question.
They have to look for a new job.
No,
I bet that office will not allow you to bring your dog.
Well, you know what? If you don't touch the dog, allergies off dogs, unless the dogs are there every day, all day, allergies don't jump up and attack people. You really have to interact with the dog.
Yeah, but the dog dander gets in carpeting, if there's carpeting there.
To come in once a year, to come in once a week, that's not going to happen. To come in every day for 8 hours a day, it could happen. You know, it depends on how often the dogs are there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Debbie. And my mother-in-law is allergic to Tiki, and she just doesn't pet him.
Yeah, and she's probably
and
okay.
She can stay at our house, and, you know, I vacuum real well. Real quickly, 847 says, I wish I could have brought my dog to the delivery room with me when I gave birth. He would have been more help than my husband.
Oh, that says a lot, doesn't it?
Oh,
that's
no.
That's noted pet expert Steve Dale. Visit his Facebook page. It's Steve Dale Pet World, right? Is that their best way to find you on Facebook?
Well, yeah.
Or stevedale.tv.
Stevedale.tv is another
easier.
Good way.
Yeah, they're all good ways. Sunday mornings. So this Sunday morning, I'll be talking about training dogs with positive reinforcement dog training, and also a van that's going to come to the beach and give away free stuff. The dog beach, of course.
I want free stuff.
Free stuff.
You got to go to the dog beach.
I'll take a free milk.
Right. Yeah, Vitabone.
Thank you, noted pet expert Vitabone. Steve Dale. We'll take a quick break. We've got some news for you and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. You tell them. I can't tell them.
I'm not telling them.
One of us has to tell them.
Kevin, you tell them.
Kevin, tell Steve.
What am I telling Steve?
TBR.
Oh, yeah. You pronounced his name wrong, Steve.
You know what? I knew that when it was coming out of my mouth.
But you probably did it for the same reason we heard it, which is you don't want to admit it, but Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
See, I do that every time.
It's a lot of letters.
Trevor Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah, DVR. He's no longer... He's no longer a Blackhawk.
No.
You know, at one point they had TBR and I would say TiVo, but no, it was TaVo. It was close.
Oh, that was very close. Mm-hmm. Those of all the guys in the NHL, they had the names most like videotaping a show so you could watch it later.
Right. And now they're all going to Las Vegas, and as Kevin pointed out, they're going to be Blackhawks Jr.
No, this is, well, he got shipped to Carolina, which is Blackhawks Jr.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Darling, yes.
And... Yeah, there's a lot of former Hawks on the Panthers. That's true. And now Kyle Schwarber's
Hurricanes.
Gone. This summer's
it's Hurricanes.
Oh, is it? This summer's over.
So is our show.
All the good guys are gone.
If you want misinformation, I'm her, and you're Mr.
Misinformation, yep. Wendy, can I tell you a story that is so tragic and sad and unbelievable at the same time that even though I know it's true, I say to myself, this can't possibly be true because people don't die from whipped cream.
You would think not.
I would, and I don't have the numbers in front of me. I can't back this up with any statistical data, but I would say that the number of deaths by whipped cream worldwide are probably around 0 to 1 a year. That you just don't, unless, now I understand if you're lactose intolerant and somebody sneaks you some whipped cream, you could have a bad reaction to it.
What if you are doing the, it's not nitrous oxide, but whatever the air,
spray the ready whip the whippets, in your mouth?
No, you don't get the whipped cream. You just take the, whatever
the
it is.
A shot of gas from the container?
Yes, yes. Whippets.
Now, can I tell you, before I knew that that was a thing, I used to like every once in a while, this will sound sick, but I used to do this because I loved as a small boy, as an older boy, I love whipped cream. Everybody
who
loves
doesn't?
Whipped cream. Everybody loves
and
whipped cream.
And it's fun to do it in your mouth.
Yes, yes it is.
You
I don't know what you meant by that, but I agree with you. It is fun to do it in your mouth. I would take the container of whipped cream.
The whipped cream. You put your head back and you just...
I would do that.
And you don't touch the nozzle to your tongue or your lips. You just
spray yourself
a
mouthful of whipped cream and that's
delicious.
Yeah,
everybody did it.
Well, I didn't know that there could be some impending danger when I was a boy. And I did it one time. I'll never forget. It was a Saturday morning and I'm watching cartoons. And I said to myself...
Who lets you sit in front of the Cartoon Central with just a thing of whipped cream?
Well, that was what you did back then. It was 1971. There was nothing else to do but sit and
sugary
watch.
Cereal, maybe, but not there with a whole thing of whipped cream.
I would have that as well.
God, it explains a lot about you.
Sometimes during Saturday morning cartoons, my weight would fluctuate about 15 pounds because I would just sit there. I'd have a fish tank full of Fruit Loops. I would just eat those during the cartoons, and then I'd spray down some whipped cream. And I didn't know there was any potential danger. I would just...
Not like if the cream comes out.
Right. But when the gas comes out, and then, like, I started to see weird colors and...
That was all the sugar.
It might have been the sugar. I don't know what it was.
That's why you have to tip the can upside down, because when my boys were learning how to do that little squirt in the mouth, you have to... They would stand upright and just spray the can. I said, no, the can has to be upside down.
Oh, so you taught them how to do this?
Yeah. That's what a mother does.
I didn't know that. My mom didn't teach us how to do that. She tried teaching us how to iron. It didn't work.
Yeah, I don't iron.
Nope. All right, so here's the story. And like I said, I'm going to warn you right now. It's tragic and it's unbelievable and it's sad all at the same time. Listen to this story. A popular French blogger and Instagram celebrity has been killed by an exploding whipped cream dispenser. Rebecca Berger's family posted to social media that the 32-year-old has died after a domestic incident that occurred yesterday.
A domestic incident sounds like something else.
Well,
because domestic, they mean like cooking in the kitchen?
That's a very vague term. I don't know. I think it's just their way of trying to explain this because, like I said, you don't get a whole lot of deaths by whipped cream dispensers. It's so rare. The siphon exploded, and it struck Rebecca's chest, resulting in her death.
Jeez. Ms.
Berger's family captioned in a photo. You can't see it because it's radio. I'll hold it up, but you're not going to be able to see it. Do not use this kind of utensil in your home, they added. It is with great sadness that we announced, Rebecca, French media reported, Ms. Berger had died of cardiac arrest after being treated from her injuries. So does that mean that the cap?
No, I don't think it was a can.
What was it?
Well, it's a whipped cream dispenser.
What's a whipped cream dispenser? It's got to be just one of those shakable bottles, right?
It's a little more high-powered. They have, like, a cartridge in there.
Oh.
What is the gas that's used in there, and why don't I know that?
Is it CO2?
Yeah.
CO2.
So there's a CO2 cartridge. So this was a heavy-duty one. This wasn't just your can of Ready Whip.
It looks like a souped-up version of that, though. Like, if you needed...
High-powered whipped cream.
Right. If there was a situation... Cake? Yeah, a giant cake. Yeah.
Too bad you didn't have that on Saturday mornings with your fishbowl full of Fruit Loops.
I'll tell you what, if I knew that existed as a kid, that would have been at the top of my Christmas list.
So it sounds like the top and the bottom of the container as it exploded.
Yeah.
And she must be little if it
hit
just
her in the chest and did her in. The blogger had 157,000 followers on Instagram. That's a lot, right? That's a ton. Regularly sharing images of herself in exotic locations.
She was beautiful.
Yeah. Oh,
great shape. And it just must a freak accident hit her in a bad spot in her chest.
That's crazy.
God.
She posted recently lots of upcoming trips and new projects. So her plan was, of course, to continue to travel the world and be on Instagram. And 157,000 followers, 157,000, that's a formidable number. So, so she's young, 32 years old. The top hits her, the cap hits her in the chest and gives her essentially cardiac arrest, and she's dead.
The BBC reported that in 2013, one victim of an exploding cream dispenser happened, and the person says, I had 6 broken ribs and my sternum was broken. At the hospital, I was told that if the shock and blast had been facing the heart, I would be dead now. In 2014, a consumer watchdog group in France issued a warning about dispensers with, quote, defective parts. When a user screws a new gas cartridge into the head of one of the defective canisters, the resulting pressure causes the spray nozzle to break free and fire off like a rubber bullet.
That's what I was thinking. It must, because of the CO2, because of that burst of air, of gas, it would act, it would be like a bullet.
My God.
That's terrible.
Anything that involves gas like that, like I don't know if you have a gas hookup on your grill. We just use the propane tank.
Yeah.
And I always am really worried about changing the tank.
Right.
Not really that worried, but I'm very cautious, put it that way. Because this is stuff that could explode.
But how do you protect yourself? What do you do to
just
protect yourself?
Do it carefully. I guess in the future, if you're changing cartridges on something, you know, put it away from you where
aim
it's not going to hit
away,
you
right?
in the chest.
But I'm sure if she had one of these, she probably used it fairly regularly and without incident. So you at some point you just go, well, this isn't gonna kill me. I do this all the time.
That's horrible.
It's awful. That's no way to go.
Death by whipped cream? And it's whipped cream,
Whipped cream. Right. All right. So that's crazy. That is no way to die. You think of whipped cream and it's all good thoughts.
I know.
It's only happy thoughts.
Switch to Cool Whip.
That's it. That's all you can do. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll discuss other things with you. If you want to jump in, you know how to reach us, right? 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Can I play some audio for you? Because I'm curious as to your reaction about this. Last night, they did a thing, the NHL Awards. And it's a pretty big deal in hockey. They do this every year. They announce, you know, who's the best defenseman and who's the best all-around player and everything like this. So you get kind of the cream of the crop when it comes to people in and around the world of hockey. They show up. And I don't know if you're familiar with Marcel Dion. Do you remember him? He was a hockey player years ago.
I know the name.
Perennial all-star. He played for years and years and years. So he's up there on stage, Marcel Dion, with Ali Reisman, the Olympic gymnast, who's very popular. And Marcel Dion said something that made a lot of people very uncomfortable. They're giving out an award, and like I said, it's the two of them. It's Marcel Dion and it's Ali Reisman. And listen to just a moment of this as the two of them do some banter up on the stage. Listen and see what you think of this.
Not only the best players of the game today, I'm on stage with one of the old greats, Marcel Dion.
Thank you. And I am excited to be on stage with three-time Olympic gold medalist. Look at those legs. And what did you say, old?
Is legendary better?
That's better.
All right, so he also, in addition to saying that about her legs, and she was wearing a dress that showed her legs off.
Really short dress and high heels. Very short dress. I mean, come on, you cannot not notice those legs. And they're fine.
But he does this thing where he, you know how when, like on Wheel of Fortune, when Vanna is showing that somebody hit the right letter and she kind of does that game show thing where the arm goes up and down. You've seen this on game shows for
years.
You're
highlighting it.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Like Carol Merrill used to do that on
Let's
Make a Deal.
Where she caressed the refrigerators and stuff like that. Like, look at the features.
So Marcel Dion is standing next to Ali Reisman and he goes, well, look at those legs. And then he moves his arm up and down so that the whole audience can peruse
the legs. She giggled.
She did giggle.
Are you sure that wasn't scripted? It sounded like he was reading it off of a teleprompter.
It was all scripted.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. It was scripted. But the question is this. Like, Ali Reisman has spent the last several months since the Olympics talking a lot about body image and how women are constantly under scrutiny for every inch of their body. And even though she giggled, it kind of went against the message she's been kind of talking about.
Bill, the bottom of her skirt is pretty high.
Yes, it is.
And she was there to focus her legs. She giggled. When I think of a gymnast, I think of fantastic legs. I don't see anything wrong with that.
People on social media yesterday were going bananas over this, saying how pervy it was for an old guy. Now, and let me take that out of context for just a second. She, and again, it is scripted. Kim is right. Anytime you see these award shows, you don't think the two people just go up and talk. It's scripted to the finest detail. But she said what an honor it is to be up there with this old guy. And she said old. But then she later threw in the word legend. So that's offensive in and of itself to some extent. But him just like highlighting her legs and making his arm go up and down like, huh? How about this? Is that good or is that not good?
It doesn't bother me because she's a gymnast. She uses those legs. They're tremendous. And she's completely all skin. That dress looks like it would be a top, not a dress.
Right.
It's really short.
It's very revealing. Now, let me take it one step further. Think about the fact that he mentioned her legs. What if he had said, oh, look at the chest on this girl, huh? Am I right? Take a look at this.
Because that has nothing to do with her feet as being a gymnast. Legs?
Yeah, right. Legs are part, right.
Yeah.
I get it.
I mean, come on. When you're watching the gymnastics during the Olympics, which, honest to God, I love to watch because I can't believe the height these girls and boys get.
Right.
And then you notice their legs.
Right.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Marcel Dion was perfectly within his means of saying, it's an honor for me to be up here with this gymnast. Her legs are fantastic. There's nothing negative about that, right?
I don't think so. And she giggled.
She did giggle. Now, what if she didn't? What if she was upset
by that?
Like
if she slapped him?
Yeah.
That would have been better.
What if she slapped Marcel Dion? NHL legend Marcel Dion got a big slap from her. But you're right. She went along with it. It was scripted. There was at some point they rehearsed this. She knew this was coming, right? Maybe she even wore a dress that was more fitting of that joke. Maybe she goes, "Wow, he's going to talk about my legs. I should wear something that shows him off." Who knows? But there were so many people uncomfortable with this, and I got to be honest, I was somewhere in the middle. I was somewhere in the middle because he could have just said, "It's also an honor for me to be up here with a great gymnast," and left it at that.
Yeah, but no one would have laughed. That was his attempt to be funny and cute, and then it got back to old. What do you call it?
Right.
I mean, it was banter
that
someone wrote.
I know.
God, everybody is just so bent out of shape.
I've heard a lot worse, trust me.
Oh, there's way worse.
This to me is
nothing.
You know, right. Yeah, I agree.
Now, here's my question, though, because what if she had, as you mentioned, what if she had like a revealing, you know, then...
Yeah.
You know, it still would have been bad if he said, wow, look at those.
Right. If he goes, what an honor it is for me to be up here with an Olympic gymnast. And how about the rack on this one, huh? Then the place gets closed down. They close it all down.
Yeah, but these were legs. She's a gymnast. And I'm telling you, that dress could not be shorter.
It is. I have to admit, it is. It is.
It's,
a, It is an incredibly short dress.
It looks like a tunic that you should have leggings under.
Right.
And she's got fantastic legs.
She does.
And she giggled, so who cares? Why should anybody else care?
So many people last night, I'm reading the comments on your Twitter. They were on the Twitter, Wendy. That's how serious this became. People on Twitter commented on it. And everybody just said, hey, old fella, back off.
Three words for you. Lighten up, Francis.
Lighten up, Francis. Right. All right. We'll take a break. Kim has the news in just a few moments. And then our friend Dean Richards, who has incredible legs. Have you seen this guy's legs, Wendy? He'll be joining
Actually,
us.
No.
Oh, my God. You just wait. It's Phil and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
Who is it?
He's Dean. He's Dean Richards.
Never met him.
Friend to millions.
Or as some singers like to say, Dean, Dean, Dean.
Dean, Dean, Dean.
That's also what my mother used to say, Dean, but in a much Dean, angrier Dean. Tone.
Dean is also the CEO of Dean Foods. Did you know that, Wendy?
Yep. Can't beat my cottage cheese.
The best cottage cheese.
I love your small curd.
Thank you.
That's a thinly masked compliment, Dean.
It's
Dean,
okay.
There was a story the other day that came out and exploded and then kind of went away, and now people aren't sure, and here's what the story is. This movie, Wonder Woman, is a gigantic hit, right?
So I hear.
Everybody's talking about
Wonder
Woman.
You don't like it, though.
No, I liked it. I didn't love it. Dean loved it. You said the best movie of the year.
I did love it.
Yeah. All right. So they publish.
Bill's a hater.
He is like Mikey lately. Honest to God, Dean, he hates everything.
I've noticed this with Bill about a half a dozen times. Anybody in any movie that has a lasso of truth. Bill hates it. I don't know what his prejudice. I remember in The English Patient.
Right. I was very upset about those lasso of truth scenes in The English Patient.
Bill.
That's so true. All right. So they say, here's the discrepancy, is that Gal, is it Gadot or Gadot?
Gadot is the correct
Told
way.
You.
Gal Gadot.
He kept insisting
I
that.
I thought it was, too. I was fighting with people who were emailing me saying I was pronouncing it wrong, and I was belligerent about it, saying, no, I've interviewed her. It's Gadot.
Right.
It's Gadot. And then I was watching an interview with her where she said her name, and she said Gadot. So I guess I got to go with it.
Dean and I went to see a stage production of the great play Waiting for Gadot, and we started fighting about Gal Gadot's name.
That's right.
And it turns out you were correct, and I was wrong.
Yeah.
But they said that she only made $300,000 for her role as Wonder Woman, and Henry Cavill, or do you say Gadot, that he made $18 million to play Superman, and that's not fair. But then they pointed out that the first time he played Superman, he also made $300,000. So is that true or not true?
That is, that's my understanding, my exact understanding of this story, that as you explain the way that it was, but when... Henry Cavill, Cavill,
yeah.
Cadot,
yeah.
did subsequent roles with this. He was compensated more fairly, really. It's hard to believe that an actress of Gal Gadot's stature, I mean, she's been in quite a few movies.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's not like a newcomer that nobody has ever heard of. It's hard to believe that she would even accept $300,000.
Seems like a low price to play Wonder Woman.
It's an incredibly low price for this franchise. She appeared in Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
As the character, she's appeared in a number of very successful films. This is not like, you know, somebody coming in from Nebraska coming
right.
in and getting a big break. This is she was already a fairly substantial actress with this. So
seems like they got a bargain there.
They most certainly did.
Yeah. Now here's the other question: she is from where?
Israel.
Israel.
All right. So how come all of our American icon superheroes like Gal Gadot is from Israel, Henry Cavill and Christian Bale are both from Great Britain? Right?
Correct.
So how come, like, our iconic all-American heroes are now being played by people from other countries? Isn't that strange?
That is very very strange. At least maybe no more iconic, great, purely American characters You know, it's just these foreigners are taking away our jobs, Bill.
That's it.
And that's,
that can't happen.
That's why I think someone should think about building a wall.
Yeah, a wall.
Around Great Britain.
Yeah.
And Israel. Keep your actors there.
Right.
Let some of our actors get a job. Carrot Top hasn't had a good role.
Give Carrot Top the chance.
God. No, then I will never go to a movie again.
He would
again.
Make a fantastic Wonder Woman.
Carrot Top would be a great Wonder Woman.
Right.
She got the job because she wore an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow Gal Gadot bikini.
Is that what it was?
That's how she got the gig.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. All right.
That's how I got this job.
Nice legs.
I didn't know that.
Thank you.
I didn't know that. And what do you make of the retiring? We were talking about this. One of our greatest actors announced that he's retiring, Daniel Day-Lewis. Is that forever, Dean, or is that just temporary?
That's what he says. He and his people issued a very simple statement saying that he's retiring from acting, that it's a private matter, and neither Daniel Day-Lewis nor his representatives will have anything else to say about it. He's always been... I'm a little bit devastated by this.
Yeah, this
I
is
think
horrible.
He's one of the greatest living actors that there is, so I think it's terrible. But I respect that he's making some sort of quality of life decision. You got to respect a guy for that. He has been known to just sit quietly and do nothing for several years while other actors just continuously churn out movies. He's
right.
been in no rush to do that. During one of his hiatuses between films, he was actually a cobbler.
Yeah.
He was a shoemaker.
Right.
For a little while, just to do something different. So
that's where the real money is anyway.
I think so.
Cobbling.
You know, you go into these shoemaker places, and, you know, they're always kind of messy.
Right.
I'm in an organized mess.
Right.
I guess they know where everything is. I'd feel a little more comforted if I, you know, like, for example, this past weekend, a strap broke on my sandals.
Yeah.
I'd feel much more comfortable taking it to somebody who's got three Academy Awards to fix.
Better work.
Right?
And now that he's out of the game, this means that our greatest actor now is Jonah Hill, right?
Jeez. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit hearing that. Wow. Yeah, I guess so.
I think he's our greatest now.
The day that that actually becomes true is the day that I'm going to retire.
Oh, don't. I don't want that to happen.
I will not be able to continue in this capacity. I'm going to say thank goodness for Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep.
Yes.
In that,
keeping the game alive.
What about The Rock, guys?
The Rock is also certainly up there.
And The Rock. Yep. You're talking about box office.
Yep.
He had a lot more box office success than either Meryl Streep or Tom Hanks.
Right.
For a very long time. Or this George Clooney guy who... Yeah. You know, he may never have to work again. He sold his tequila company yesterday.
For a billion.
Good for him.
$1 billion.
He is such a renaissance man. He can do anything and everything and does.
Yeah, he's amazing.
I don't know if you heard the big news that just broke this morning. You know, the two directors of the Star Wars spinoff movie, the Han Solo movie.
Yeah,
fired.
They were fired, Phil Lord and Chris Miller. And officially this morning, Lucasfilms announced that Ron Howard is going to take over the Han Solo movie.
What an interesting choice to direct that movie.
It really is. And this is going to be so interesting because they've already started production on
right.
this film. Part of it will be under the now fired directors, and part of it will be under Opie.
Opie saving the day, though.
Obi-Wan Kenobi?
You're my only hope.
Fantastic would that be if they just worked in a little little something for the fans in there. And then one of the villains is called Mr. C. Mrs. C.
And at some point, Darth Vader says to Luke Skywalker, Luke, I am your paw. Wouldn't that be great?
That is good, Bill.
Luke, I am your paw.
That would be fantastic.
Throw this pebble across yon pond.
I want that so badly, Dean.
I love that.
That would be excellent.
The other big breaking news, this has been a super busy morning. John Oliver just got a defamation lawsuit handed to him from a coal industry official that he took on big time on his show this past Sunday night. I don't know if you guys saw this.
I did see it.
His show is so great. And he went after a guy named Robert Murray, who is the CEO of Murray Energy Corporation. He reported on what this show, I have to be careful in saying this now because this is such a litigious story.
Yeah.
That John Oliver's show was talking about practices by this company and practices by this CEO. Before the show was ever even on the air, the John Oliver's people contacted him for a comment on what they were going to say on the show, and they were issued a cease and desist order
right
before the show was ever on the air, saying, don't even go into this or we're going to sue. Well, now they have, and the lawsuit is claiming that John Oliver, HBO, last week, tonight, intentionally, falsely, and outrageously put out words about Murray's activities. They're saying that it was a blatant attempt on John Oliver's part to, advance their biases against the coal industry and their disdain for the coal-related policies of the Trump administration.
Yeah.
End quote. So Oliver says he stands by everything that he said on the show. HBO says, we haven't seen the complaint, but we have confidence in the staff of Last Week Tonight and don't believe that anything in the show violated Mr. Murray's nor Murray Energy's rights.
Well, he pointed out quite beautifully the benefit that Mr. Murray has made financially from the coal industry, and you would imagine if that's the business he's in. But his tactics, and I'm also trying to be as careful as I possibly can, really seem to have benefited himself above and beyond anybody else.
That's according to the way John Oliver reported it, I haven't done any research into this. I watched the show.
Yeah.
It was jaw dropping.
Right.
All of this is what HBO alleges. The CEO, who said he was going to sue even before it was ever even on the air,
right,
has now indeed sued for defamation.
Yeah.
So it's that this is going to be a really interesting story to follow.
I'm with you all the way. It's Dean Richards, everybody. We'll talk about what movies are coming out this weekend next. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill and Wendy on WGN, along with our friend Dean Richards, telling us what movies are coming out this weekend. And Dean, I know there was a big press event for the opening of Transformers 5, right? You were there.
I was. It was what was described to me by an official of the city of Chicago as the largest red carpet event that's ever been held in Chicago.
Wow.
It was massive. It was on a barge in the Chicago River.
Wow.
Right in back of the Civic Opera House. Well, they parked a barge back there. It had to be a couple of barges,
because
it was huge. They put red carpet on it. And when the stars came in, they would go down a very steep flight of stairs down to what would sort of be the river walk over there, although it's kind of narrow, and then step onto the barge. And suddenly it was, Hollywood glamorous over there. And, we're on there. The press is on there interviewing the stars of the movie. And, the Wendellas going by and was it Sea Dog? And all the boats and Chicago police boats are out there, protecting it. The security was super interesting. Everyone had said that we had never seen security like this at
red
carpet. There were snipers.
Yeah.
What?
That's
part of the movie.
No.
First of all, there were bomb sniffing dogs. Before you ever got anywhere near this barge, you had to walk through an area where bomb sniffing dogs were, and some really cute bomb sniffing dogs. I might say, I always think of like German Shepherds or, like mean looking dogs, and I love German Shepherds. I'm not disparaging. But they're like, cute golden labs. And,
really?
Yeah.
Any doodles?
And I didn't see a doodle or chihuahuas or anything like that. But there were definitely some labs that were like, oh, labs are so friendly. But, you're walking by with some explosives and they're going to blow the whistle on you. So there was that. And then officers everywhere on Wacker, on Washington, on Madison, on the bridges. With what I'm told, I thought they were machine guns, but I'm told they are actually assault weapons.
Oh,
but it's pretty scary looking. And then as we were standing on the barge, just looking around, you look up on the west side of the riverbank where the buildings were. And, guys are positioned on different buildings there. And you could see that they were holding some kind of rifle, assault weapon, something. And I talked with some police who were on the street afterwards asking about it, and they said that's the new normal when there's a big event.
That's intimidating.
At the Cubs game, they had similar precautions at the U2 concert. They had similar precautions, so that that unfortunately is the new normal, I guess.
Wow.
With all that's going on. And so Mark Wahlberg, Sir Anthony Hopkins,
yeah,
Josh Duhamel,
yeah,
Gerard Carmichael, the comedian who's got a
sitcom. Carmichael?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did I say Josh Duhamel? He was there. The director of the movie, Michael Bay, mm-hmm. Was there. They all walked.
He's my bae.
My bae. Hey, bae. so they all, walked the carpet. And I got to say, far more exciting to be part of this whole event with the sniffing dogs and the assault rifles than anything that I saw in the 2.5 hours that experiencing Uh-oh. This movie.
Did
two
that make the bomb-sniffing dogs go crazy when they saw the movie?
One of the bomb-sniffing dogs leaned over to me and go, really, 2.5 hours? You know what? I would rather be sniffing right now.
Right. Absolutely. Oh, that's terrible. That's awful.
That is terrible. Really, the movie sort of is, too. I gave it a few points just for its ambition.
Yeah.
Michael Bay delivers a certain kind of movie that is ultra high action, ultra high activity, ultra high special effects, just like he always does. And he does in this one, too. There's a whole variety of different plot lines that are going on that link the Autobots, your Optimus Prime and your Megatron back to the Dark Ages, to a time of King Arthur and Lancelot.
Yeah,
there is part of the storyline that has one of the Autobots wanting to destroy Earth and all of its people, so his home planet can thrive.
Autobots are selfish.
They are. Well, as it turns out, that is absolutely the case.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg and, the cast are just, they even look bored.
They
While they're doing this movie. Mm-hmm. Mark Wahlberg has made no bones about it that he's done with this franchise.
Yeah.
That he doesn't want to do any more of these movies. He just looked like, is this 2.5 hours over yet? Because I want to get the hell out of here.
And this is only his second one, right? He hasn't been in all of them. He's just been in one or two.
His second one, right? Yeah. Right. So this may explain what happened to Shia LaBeouf.
Yes.
Of what happened, why he went so far off the track.
Yep.
The story is ridiculous, if at all there. I gave some points to the movie because, if you like the special effects, If you like a Michael Bay styled movie, mm-hmm. it most certainly is proficiently done in that way. I would have zero interest in ever seeing this movie myself again.
Yeah.
Even people who grew, I think a lot of the popularity of this Transformers franchise is completely nostalgic. It's
sure.
From people who are 30, 40 years old who grew up with the actual Transformers
toys.
Yeah. And so to them, it's all very nostalgic. And I'm sure I talked to like a dozen people at the night that I saw the movie who were Transformers fans. And even they said that they were disappointed.
Oh, that's
so
bad.
So I think it fails on a lot of occasions. I gave it a Dean's List C.
That's generous, it sounds.
It really is. It really is. I probably should have gone a little bit lower, but I'm trying to give Michael Bay the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, that's nice of you.
A little bit because
he's your bae.
He does what he does, It's
that is true.
Don't go into a Michael Bay movie thinking it's going to be Bridges of Madison County.
Right.
It is what it is. If you like that kind of movie, it's very proficiently done. It's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I get it. No, it makes sense. Dean, thank you. I hope you have a great weekend.
And I hope you have a great weekend.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Nice to
see you
as
well.
Something else, but my mind suddenly went blank.
No, that's fine.
I'm officially out of words today.
That's Dean Richards, everybody. Thanks, Dean. Have a good weekend. We'll take a quick break, and news is next. We'll find out what Steve has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Bill and Wendy, WGN.